Welcome to the Short Term Show, the show about short-term rentals and long-term wealth, with real property owners hosting real properties who are crushing it in the vacation and short-term rental space. And here's your host, Avery Carl.
Hey, y'all, welcome back to another episode of the Short Term Show. So it's the beginning of 2025. A lot of the data companies, big management companies, et cetera, have come out with their lists of best places to invest, which I both love and hate, mostly hate, to be honest, because I think that a lot of times people get a little confused about who to listen to and what to look for. So we're going to dive into this a little bit today. And to help me do that, I have Chuck Kramer, the infamous Chuck Kramer. He's been investing in vacation rentals longer than I have, which is over 10 years, but I'll let him introduce himself. Hey, Chuck.
I couldn't do it any better. other than the fact that I am more legitimately retired than most people. So I didn't really start this until I retired.
All right. And how many have you owned over the years?
I was thinking about this the other day. I've owned 17 total, you know, mm-hmm. And like any investor, you're in and out of different properties. So 17 short terms and 9 long terms. Still have a couple of long terms. So
cool. So let's dive right into this here. So AirDNA is always the biggest one to come out with lists. And this one, I'm not actually looking at the list. I'm just looking at their 2025 outlook, and It's very positive. So for those of you who have not been paying attention to the real estate market for the past 2 years or the economy for the past 2 years, it has sucked big, fat, you know what's. And I've said this a number of times on this podcast, but I'm going to say it again. Fewer homes were sold in 2024 than in the last 65 years. So more homes were sold during the Great Recession years than in 2024. So the market has sucked. So if you're somebody who has a listing that's been sitting on the market for 6 months, there's a good chance it's not your agent's fault. People are just not buying houses right now. There's a joke in the real estate agent world that you always want to be the second agent right now. So somebody's going to take that listing first, and seller's going to, you know, not really want to price it where it really should be. You know, we're coming off of 2021, 2022 prices still. They've still got that number in their head that their neighbor got. And so we list it way too high, and it sits on the market for 6 months, and they don't want to drop below, and then it expires. And then they think, well, it's probably my agent. It's my agent's fault. And then they go hire another agent. And it actually kind of infuriates me when this happens, when we're the first agent and they let the second agent list it for like way less than what we listed it for. So eventually it ends up selling for what you told them it would sell for anyway, that they wouldn't drop the price to. So you want to be the second listing agent in this market. Anyway, just kind of a preface into what we've been dealing with in the sales market, which kind of translates over to the rental market because it slowed down there for a little while. But according to AirDNA, we kind of achieved stabilization in 2024. So the supply has decreased. We saw like, what are they saying? 20 something percent increase in supply in at the height of things. And then it's dropped to just about a 6% increase for this year. So I think that's much more manageable. Do you have anything to add to that, Chuck?
No. The other thing is that they're looking at the U.S. market as a whole when they give those numbers, but we've seen even more drastic corrections in other market. You know, it's very specific markets. So I think we're getting at a point, you know, based on what they're saying, based on what we're hearing from other people, and what I would call the cautious optimism that we're seeing from the financial gurus on Wall Street, that we're looking at a reasonable year. I'm not going to say a great year. You know, we still have some recovery to do, but with the balance of supply and demand, we should be in decent shape.
Yeah. And for 2025, they say gradual recovery continues. Occupancy is expected to make steady gains towards pre-pandemic levels. and supported by, again, by modest supply growth. So, and again, guys, real estate is very market specific. So we're talking overall cautiously optimistic, whereas your market, maybe it's going gangbusters or maybe it's completely gone off a cliff. So you kind of have to take all of this with a grain of salt, because the overall average is not necessarily what's happening in each part. Yeah. So slowing supply growth, you like to hear that. It's not, you know, a zillion listings coming online every few months. So I think too that they're not saying we're in a recession, but I mean, guys, like, we are. People are not spending money the way they used to. So I think that also as time goes on, we got over that big hump of, okay, when's the Fed going to start dropping rates and who's going to be the president? That was a big, both of those were like these big wait and see bubbles that we've gotten past now. So I don't expect bookings to go crazy this year, but I do expect to see some more coming in.
This episode is brought to you by Short-Term Shop Plus. Are you looking for someone to help you analyze a deal? Do you want instant access to lectures on management and short-term rental success? Join Short-Term Shop Plus for all of your vacation rental needs. STS Plus is open to the public and offered for the first time at a tremendous value. Also included is world-famous Management Monday, a weekly live session with everything you need to know about setting up your property and learning how to manage from a distance. Join today at stsplus.com. That's stsplus.com.
We actually, I don't know about you, Chuck, but 2023, we actually did a little better in 2024 on our properties than in 23. I don't know if you saw that in yours.
I didn't. There was a reason for it, though. I had trouble with one listing, actually, probably our biggest listing, that sort of dropped off search results altogether. And even the OTA was having trouble explaining it. You know, if you had the link, you could find it, but it just never showed up. And it was 5 months. You know, 5 months on your biggest income property is going to have an impact. If you take that out of the equation on all our other properties, we were up on every single one of them, but that was enough to make it down overall. that's not an economic issue. That was more of a technology issue.
Yeah. Well, that sucks, but
yeah.
Hopefully you've got it turned around.
I hope so. You know, there's a lesson there too.
Yeah.
About, you know, number of eggs, number of baskets kind of thing. So, you know, diversify for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, all right. So let's get into some of these lists, because I love talking crap about these lists, because a lot of times, like, there are nuggets of good information in them, but people don't pay attention to the other outside factors that influence them. So let's start with Easy Street Capital's list of best places to invest. So they've got nice short list to work with, five places. Flagstaff, Arizona, which I do like. We've got an agent there, so plug. Affordable ski market, I like it. Charleston, South Carolina, I think regulations there are a little bit tough, but clearly there's a way to do it. I don't know exactly what they are, but clearly there's a way to do it. Joshua Tree, which I'm surprised to hear, because that's one of everybody's favorite markets to talk about going off a cliff and it's oversaturated and all these things. Gulf Shores, Alabama. Again, I always expect to see Gulf Shores on these lists. Great beach market, especially for us Southeasterners. And then Nashville, Tennessee, which I'm so over Nashville. I actually just got off of the phone with a developer and short-term rental owner who owns a bunch of things in Nashville. And she said they had a rough time in Nashville last year. They had a big shift. But I'm interested to see, you know, why they say Nashville is a good spot. But to me, after having lived in Austin and then Los Angeles and then New York and then coming to Nashville as a Southerner, it just feels like Nashville is a bunch of Californians and New Yorkers who I love in their natural habitats pretending to be Southern. And I find it offensive. Nashville offends me at this point. So anyway, walking around with the cowboy hats and like, that's a Texas thing. We're in the Southeast. We don't wear cowboy hats. You're appropriating wrong. Just whatever. Anyway, it's got nothing to do with short-term rentals, in my personal opinion. All right. So what do you think of this list, Chuck?
Well, you know, the ones that show up every year, and we can discuss them briefly, but I mean, the Gulf Shores and the Flagstaff, and to some extent, Charleston makes almost every list, but I'll revisit Charleston. They're just solid places. Gulf Shores, you know, it's the simple place that everybody goes to for the beach. It's due south, west, and east of several major metropolitan areas. In some ways, you could describe it almost like the Smokies when you say that it's within a half a day's drive of a huge part of the population. And it's beautiful. So
yeah. Yeah. You fly into Phoenix to go to Flagstaff, right?
Yes. That's the easiest. I mean, you can get there from a couple of places, but that's the closest one. Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what I think about Gulf Shores. Flagstaff is kind of the same way. It gets a lot of people from California that want to get out of, you know, they've done everything in California. They want to go somewhere else. Flagstaff keeps them in that moderate environment. It's a year-round destination if you can stand the heat in the summer. But that's what all the pools are for. So, you know, it's a great environment for that. When you can count on 12 months of income, as an investor, that's pretty good. As a visitor, that means whatever time off you have during the year, Flagstaff has something for you. So now yeah. Charleston and Nashville, I kind of put in the same basket in that they're, they are heavily regulated. You can get, it's hard to get a new license. It can be done, but it's difficult. That makes the value of the people and not the people, but the properties already have a license even higher. Now, these places are still attracting more and more guests, but there's only a certain number of rentals. Well, I mean, you just do the simple math on that. It's going to drive up the ADR. So you've got a demand that's exceeding supply. And I think that's why it makes the list here. And Nashville actually is on several lists. The other thing about both Nashville and Charleston, now Charleston, the Charleston regional area is also expanding more to include the shore. That's something it has that Nashville doesn't. It's got a beach.
Right, right.
So, you know, it attracts a whole different type of person during the summer. And that whole shore area is growing with more regulation. Nashville, on the other hand, you've got the city, you got the music, you got the bar scenes, you've got the entertainment and the city vibe. You got some sports reasons to go there, but you don't have a beach.
Right. Yeah. And so to me, Charleston is kind of like a New Orleans type place. Like you've got so much history, all the cool architecture, but it's easier to get to.
Yeah. If you were to take a week during the summer and go to Charleston, you know, you could do day trips to Savannah. You know, Savannah is only about an hour, hour and a half away. And that's got a whole different vibe than Charleston does. You could go the other direction and go a little bit north and hit Wilmington. Then you, of course, you got the beach east of there. So there's a lot to do there and within an easy distance. I mean, it's not like, it's not like some places where you go and you're kind of stuck there because there's not a lot else to do. And I'm not going to pick on the Smokies necessarily, but if you go to the Smokies every year and you spend a week there every year, by 7 or 8 years, you've done everything. And it's not like you can get in the car. I mean, okay. You can get in the car, drive across the mountains, go to the casino over in Cherokee. But you start to run out of things to do. Charleston, you've got those day trips if you plan it right. And I mean, it's in a good spot. I'd argue the same for Savannah. Savannah's just a lot more tightly wound in terms of regulation.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I think, you know, these markets, like these metro markets that end up on these lists, and you and I talked about this offline for a minute, that every year these lists are like two-thirds vacation markets and one-third metro markets. And the metro markets, what Nashville has done a good job of is, and Charleston and Savannah and a lot of these places with their regulations, is commodifying short-term rental property. So they make it scarce. So not everybody has it. So it makes it more valuable from a commercial standpoint. And I wonder if as time goes on and most metro markets and suburban markets and non-vacation markets impose these big, heavy regulations, if the overall commodification of vacation destination property will happen. I mean, I don't expect that to happen in the next few years, but just over time, I've wondered that.
Yeah, I think that has to happen. I mean, it's a natural consequence. So, you know, something else we haven't brought up, and none of these lists really talk about, And I was kind of surprised. I first heard it from Vrbo. At least that's what got me thinking about it, was the impact of social media on destinations. And I think that's another reason we see places like Joshua Tree in Nashville make so many lists. Mm-hmm. It's hard to watch any influencer without coming across Nashville or Joshua Tree a couple of times a year, at least.
Yeah.
And, you know, Vrbo is working on this plan. I have to make sure I'm not violating NDA here. Yeah. Okay. No, this is okay. They're working on this plan with influencers, so that right from their social media post, you can book a trip.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, so after you've seen the beautiful pictures of, you know, somebody at, you know, Flagstaff at the pool and wherever, you can actually click on a button. It'll take you right to Expedia and hook you up with, you know, plane fare, rental car, and a short-term rental.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And I guess also Flagstaff is skiing. People don't think of skiing when they think of Arizona, but yeah, so that's cool. You've got that. Anyway, back to the Joshua Tree thing. You just reminded me of this. So, okay, Joshua Tree. None of us were expecting this to be on a list just based on anecdotal things that all the other people, influencers, short-term rental people out there talk about. But AirDNA says that the number has been ticking back up in 2024 in terms of demand versus supply. Mm-hmm. And as of mid-November 2024, AirDNA gives Joshua Tree a perfect 100 overall market score, which I don't really pay attention to the AirDNA market scores. I just kind of use it for, you know, to figure out kind of price ranges and enemy methoding, but that's interesting to know. But the best in the United States, driven by top of the line investability scores. So my guess is, you know, that's makes it, it's a little more affordable to buy things there than other places, has revenue growth and lack of seasonality. So people come year round. So very interesting to hear you can still potentially invest in Joshua Tree when that's one of everybody's favorite markets to hate for whatever reason. And I guess, you know, we do have to acknowledge that there was a huge boom in during COVID for a lot of these places. And then everybody, when they went to these places, went to stabilize, everybody lost their minds. Yeah. And now it's stabilized and like, oh, here it is still being a good market. So,
well, it's got a really high drivability score. And when you look at the fact that airfares are up significantly, especially if you don't book a year in advance, that makes it a very attractive destination for people. Cause you can decide 3 weeks out, let's go. You know, you jump online. I mean, even the discount airlines, you know, are three times what they were 2 years ago. You know, those days of $49 flights from a few hundred miles away are gone, I think. I'm not blaming the airlines. I mean, everything's more expensive, but it makes it a lot easier to just say, let's four of us hop in a car and go.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I agree. Well, let's move on to a different list. I don't want to spend all our time on this one. So now I'm on Rabu. So Rabu did their lists a little bit differently this year. So I'm going to look at two of them.
Are you worried about your market being saturated? Too much competition? Well, join us at Short Term Shop Plus, and we can teach you to be the best in your area. STSplus.com to sign up for on-demand online courses, one-on-one live coaching, weekly group calls, everything you need to know about being the best in your field in the world of vacation rental and short-term rental. We say saturation, smaturation. STSplus.com.
This episode of The Short-Term Show is brought to you by The Short-Term Shop. If you're interested in buying a short-term rental in one of the top vacation markets in America, just go to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected with an Agent. If you purchase a home with the shop, you'll have access to all of our client-only benefits, such as training on how to manage your short-term rental. So we'll teach you everything you need to know, from how to set up your Airbnb and Vrbo listings, to how to use the property management software that you'll need to streamline your business, all the way down to helping you source your local boots on the ground, like cleaners, handy people, etc. We've taught thousands of people just like you how to buy and manage their vacation homes from anywhere in the world. So head on over to theshorttermshop.com and click Get Connected with an Agent to get started. I do have to mention that we're brokered by eXp or else I get in trouble. We'll see you guys over there. The 20 best short-term rental markets in Florida. I'm also going to look at their 20 best short-term rental mountain markets. So what we see here, I'm not going to go through all 20 because there's a lot of scrolling involved and I don't want y'all to have to sit here and listen to me scroll, but on every single list, there is at least one or two towns that are on the Emerald Coast. So here we've got Fort Walton Beach, we've got Pensacola, I believe Rosemary, no, that's on a different list, sorry. Jumping ahead of myself. So something on the Emerald Coast is on every single one of these lists almost every year. We've got a lot of stuff in Southwest Florida. Southwest. So Bradenton, where we've got an agent, Seminole, Sarasota, like all those little areas around Sarasota, Clearwater, and then also Southeast Florida, Pompano Beach, Deerfield Beach. And then also, again, another little bit of a surprise, Orlando, because that is another one of everyone's favorite places to say saturated. And I mean, I'll be honest, our clients in Orlando who've owned there for a while, you know, it's definitely been hit pretty hard with the stabilization. Now, we do still have people who are buying the right things that are doing really well, but across the board, Orlando has taken a hit. So interesting to see that it's on a list of best places to invest. You're an ex, or what do they call people who live in Orlando?
Orlandoans.
It's extremely hot with no beach. But anyway, what do you think about this?
Well, actually, you know, if this were 2024, I would be shocked that that was on there. I'm not surprised for 2025. It actually gives me confidence in Rabu's methodology because one of the things they're factoring in is the new theme park opening up.
So Disney's getting a whole new park and Universal's
opening. Yeah, Universal's opening a new park this year.
Okay.
A little bit further south and lesser known and attached to Legoland, the Peppa Pig theme park opened up.
I hate Peppa Pig.
Last year.
Oh, I hate her.
Well, like it or love it, it's something else to do while you're staying in the area. You know, Legoland is going to attract more a younger audience. And then, you know, then you got something else to do before you hop in that car and make the hour and a half drive to Disney. And I've actually gone to Legoland and stayed in their little bungalows, which look like they're built with Legos. I got to say, they're really cute. The kids love them.
Okay. We haven't done Legoland yet. We've actually only done Disney like 100 times at this point, but I really want to do Universal because I am a Harry Potter nerd. Luke is a little old for Harry Potter and he tells me that I'm a dork. And every time we go to Orlando, I'm like, let's do Universal, not just Disney, because I want to go to Harry Potter World. He acts like I'm just the most heinous of nerds. But I'm
older than you are, and I'm a Harry Potter fan. So I just shot that argument in the foot.
I'm gonna get him on board. What I'm gonna do is get the kids obsessed with it so he can't say no. I'm going to indoctrinate them with Harry Potter.
And don't underestimate SeaWorld too. That's sort of like the secret in the area. I mean, everyone knows it's there, but people don't go. But it's got probably the best water park I've seen.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I can't get into I have a water park phobia.
Well, when you're in Orlando for a week during, in July or August.
Yeah.
And, 100% humidity and, 90 to 95 degrees every day. Water park sounds really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. All right. So here we are on this list. We've got several Emerald Coast cities. We've got several East Coast of Florida cities, several West Coast of Florida cities. So basically buying on the beach and investing on the beach is in still.
Yeah.
Crystal River, also an honorable mention, that is not a Disney or coastal market necessarily. So this is all kind of common sense still. You buy where people want to do things. People want to go to the beach. They want to go skiing or to the mountains. Let's check their mountain list real quick, unless you have anything else to add to the Florida.
No, I mean, I understand the hesitancy to invest in Florida. I mean, because the news and the weather and You know, but look at how well, I mean, Southwest Florida has recovered from two hurricanes, you know, and people still come. They come. They come year round. So one other small thing about Central Florida is, you know, international travel to Central Florida hasn't really recovered to pre-COVID levels, but it's on its way. It's ticked up a lot in the last 6 or 8 months. I've been watching the Orlando visitor site, and they put those stats up on occasion. It's recovering very well. And I think that's something else that's been factored into this list here too. And that's why we're seeing Davenport and Kissimmee on there. So.
Gotcha. So there's still room to grow in Orlando. The thing about the Kissimmee and Davenport area is the real estate there is still so much more affordable than a lot of other vacation markets. So it mm-hmm. can be really attractive for new investors to want to get in there, but you really do have to differentiate yourself, guys. Like, you cannot just go in there and slap up a Mickey mural and call it a day. Like, you have to really enemy method and make sure that you're there on your theming. But let's move on. I'm going to switch gears from data companies and best places to invest to, I'm going to move on to Vrbo's top booked mountain vacation spots. They've got mountain and beach. So I'll just read these off real quick. Park City, Utah, Gatlinburg, Steamboat Springs, Big Sky, Montana, Lake Tahoe, South Lake Tahoe, California, Breckenridge, Boone, North Carolina, White Mountain, New Hampshire, Killington, Vermont, and Whitefish, Montana. So these are mostly Western ski markets. Well, not mostly. I think they're about half. Yeah. So some ski markets, you got obviously Gatlinburg and Boone, North Carolina, over here on this end of things without having to go up into New England. So these are the places that are most booked on the travel site. So I think that this is really something to pay attention to, that investors sometimes only get caught up in the data websites, but like, you want to invest where there's a lot of tourism. So investing in these places that are the most booked, Park City, for example, I'd love to own something in Park City. It's really easy to get to, 30 minutes from the airport. Like, a lot of these other places, you got to, like, I mean, Whitefish, I love Whitefish, but it's almost to Canada. I've got to get on 3 airplanes to get there. So it's just a pain in the ass. But I think Park City is easier for a lot of people. Steamboat, again, 3 hours from the Denver airport. It's awesome. It's beautiful, but just not quite as accessible. But something I want to point out that I'm seeing on this list, just knowing, looking in these markets and doing some research on purchase prices for things that could be used as short-term rentals, all these ski markets are extremely expensive. Like, Steamboat Springs, it's like $2.5 million for a 2-bedroom condo. So not necessarily markets that you're looking at a lot of cash flow, but what are your thoughts here, Chuck?
Well, it gets back to that supply demand thing. It's high demand and low supply of properties. That's what drives the prices up. And all of these places have been fairly regulated in terms of building over the years. So, you know, some big developers are moving into a few of them, but the cities are being very cautious about that. You know, one of the things I found interesting about Vrbo's list is they're all primarily skiing destinations. I mean, it doesn't mean you can't do other things except Gatlinburg.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. You know, not that you can't ski in Gatlinburg. You know, there's one place you can go and it's open for 3 months and they usually sell out a month, month and a half ahead of time. But every other place on here is a fairly well-known skiing destination except that one. You know, I think the smart, really smart people are going to be looking for what is the next Gatlinburg in the United States. You know, what kind of places are people going to that have drivability near an airport, but aren't known for skiing, but known for other things that could potentially grow? You know, if you're looking for that diamond in the rough, for me, that's the formula. Mm-hmm. Probably watch a lot of Hallmark movies. You're bound to find something.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And some of these places, again, on this list, you have to look at the Vrbo is not accounting for, like, if you're actually allowed to short-term rent there, like Breckenridge, for example, can't do it. South Lake Tahoe, I think, is pretty difficult. Steamboat, really difficult. I had a period of wanting to buy something in Colorado last year, and it's just impossible to do in a lot of these places, but it's really good to know where the OTAs say to invest. Now let's go back. We're going to hit the Vrbo beach list. And then I just kind of want to talk general with you, Chuck, about like strategies and things for people. So on Vrbo's top beach destinations, we've got Hilton Head, the Hamptons. Mm-hmm. Again, that's one of those that's like, yeah, a lot of people go there, but I mean, who can afford to buy that? Gulf Shores again, Panama City Beach.
No one watches podcast.
Yeah. If you're watching my podcast, you can't afford the Hamptons. Maybe you can. Okay. Gulf Shores again, Panama City again. San Diego, kind of an interesting, cool market. I stayed in an Airbnb in San Diego last year, and they are regulating pretty heavy, and it is a metro market, but it's also a beach market. So it's a little bit of a mix. Kind of interesting, but expensive real estate, as with all California. They've got Rosemary Beach, which is on the Emerald Coast, is part of 30A as a top place to, or one of the top places to go. Maui, Ocean City, New Jersey, Aransas County, Texas, and Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. So nothing shocking here. And you know what I've seen too in just the short-term shop sales is people like to invest in beach markets, because just like me, why do I live in a beach market? I grew up coming here on vacation and it makes me happy to be here. So people like to invest in places that make them happy.
I've heard you say that since day one. And you know, and Luke too, when you're looking for a property, one of the factors has to be, do you like vacationing there? For most people, they're going to be there anyway, you know, closing, setting up, visiting, maintenance. So make it a place you want to go to.
Yeah. So, and so I think, Chuck, with all the lists that we've looked at, and there's, you know, any number of other lists out there from other companies that we didn't go over because we only have so much time. But I think there's different ones on different lists. Each list is going to be different, but you can totally screw this up or knock it out of the park by, or actually let's talk about how we can screw it up first. I think, well, no, I'm going to talk about knocking it out of the park first. Mm-hmm. The way to knock it out of the park is to buy in a market that you know that you have a competitive edge in through knowledge. So I'm not talking about like you have an uncle that builds pickleball courts and they'll do it for you for free or whatever and have the best property. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about market knowledge and knowing who your guest is. So Chuck, you used a great example before we hit record about the Smokies. So let's talk about what it means to know who your guest is when you're buying things.
Well, let's use that as an example, because you know, frankly, it's the one I know the best. You know, I got many, many years of experience there. Luke said, in, I believe it was one of his podcast episodes, and he said it really well. If you want to know a market, in this case, Gatlinburg, go to one of the primary areas, whether it's Dollywood or in this case, downtown Gatlinburg, and sit on a bench and watch the people who go by. You're not going to see people in suits. You're not going to see people, you know, wearing, you know, $500 designer jackets. You might see some other designer things, but you're basically going to see middle-class America in the Smokies. And the longer you sit there, more of that you're going to see. That's your, in that market, that's your primary avatar. That's 75% to 80% of the people that visit there. Basic middle-class America. Which means if you go in and you want to, you know, you end up buying eight. I don't want to insult anybody by doing this, because there is a market for this, just not a big one. But you're not going to go in there and buy a whole bunch of high end places and put them up and get $2,000 a night year round. There just aren't enough people for that, you know, who are going to come and spend that kind of money, and certainly not for that amount of time. But if you put up a good solid place that's comfortable, looks nice, has a bit of a designer look, gives people that sort of feeling that they can reach for something that they don't have on a daily basis, you're going to do well. I'm going to quote Luke again and listen to his podcast, folks. Really. There was a discussion years ago that he and I had online, and I don't even know that the video is available. I think it was a Facebook Live where someone asked about, should they go with a king bed or a queen bed when they had room? And his first response was, of course, if you have a king bed, go for that. And then they said, should I get the 10-inch or the 12-inch or the 14-inch? He goes, go for the 14. He goes, people don't have this at home. They want to reach and have something that they don't have on a daily basis. That conversation stuck in my head. I mean, the way he phrased it was perfect. And that really works in any market. You want to provide something that's a step above what people have at home. You want to be the aspiration place. I don't mean, you know, the high end with the crystal glasses. I mean, within reach. And I don't care whether it's in the mountains or the beach.
Yeah. Or metro, you know, wherever you choose to invest somewhere that you know and understand. Yeah, and I cannot stress that enough. And I've seen so many people, these lists can be really dangerous. And I think I've talked about that enough on here. Mm-hmm. But when you treat them as gospel and not just a tool to help you, if you treat them like a tool and use that with the other research that you do on the market in terms of learning it, then you're going to be a lot better off than just saying, oh, it said Fort Walton Beach. Let me go buy something in Fort Walton. And you buy a weird 3-bedroom brick house that's on the wrong side of the bay because you didn't do your research on where people actually go to vacation in Fort mm-hmm. Walton, which is Okaloosa Island on the other side of the bay. Take the time to understand that. Go and visit, and you can be successful. And I think one other thing that I wanted to talk about is when you're looking at the list that compare average purchase prices to incomes, that can be a little bit dangerous too, because in some cases, they're using all the data that is, for example, on the wrong side of the bay. So those properties are going to be a lot cheaper than the properties that would actually make good vacation rentals. So that data is going to be off. But I mean, here on 30A, like you're going to, the price of what a cash flowing short-term rental is, and you know, this is a very, very luxury area. Michael Jordan owns a house here. I didn't know that until I was talking to a builder earlier who built his house. Michael Jordan, you've got the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, you've got Taylor Swift building something, you've got all these people, the Waltons, and they're buying $25 million beach houses that are not short-term rentals. So on the other side of that whole purchase price versus gross income data, you're getting in these purchase price averages, those $25 million houses that are not vacation rentals. These are just ultra wealthy people's vacation homes that are not being rented. So those lists can be a little bit like, take those with a grain of salt, do your own research on what in the market would make a good vacation rental and how much that is versus looking at these big market averages, because they can be wildly different within the same market just based on what would and would not be a vacation rental.
You hit the nail on the head. You know, and I'm just to reiterate, I mean, even here in the Destin area, just up the road, you know, one block from the beach can make a 20% difference, 30% difference in home price, depending on the block. And I see that in a lot of beach markets, actually. We see that in Crystal Beach, Texas, for example. You know, people go, I'm first row, second row, third row, and higher that number is, the lower the purchase price, usually the sale price. And a lot of these, They don't get that granular in these kinds of reports. So you've got to consider that. And the only way to do that is, you know, the real estate purchase version of the enemy method. Go in and look yourself.
Yeah. And I mean, these lists are great for a new person who's like, oh, let me see best places to invest. And they look at these lists and they say, oh, Hilton Head. I love Hilton Head. I love going to Hilton Head. Let me do a little more research on this. So now you have a little bit of data to get you started. You know that market because you've been a tourist there. So you've got that knowledge. And so you already have two pieces of the puzzle to go do the rest of that research to make sure the purchase prices are what they need to be, the income's what it needs to be in order for you to invest. Mm-hmm. So I think these lists are great in terms of getting people started, but it really is up to you to make sure you find that sweet spot within the market that you choose and not just say, oh, Fort Walton Beach, great. Let me go buy a bunch of stuff in Fort Walton Beach. And you haven't done any other research on who goes there, what gets rented, what that sweet spot is.
Right. And let's not ignore doing basic research outside of that. I don't hear enough people doing this of, you know, jumping online. And fortunately with AI tools, you don't need to be as good at Google search, but you can go to some of these AI search tools and say, show me the news about new developments going on in Charleston. And of course, it will bring up things like apartment complexes, but it may also bring up, oh yeah, there's a new museum going up. There's a new football stadium going up. So you can find out if there's going to be anything that will change the draw. I'm surprised. I've actually talked to some Orlando area owners in the last couple months who didn't know that a new theme park was opening up and they own there. And of course, in the Smokies, there always seems to be something new opening up. You know, and Galveston is doing it. There's a bunch of new development going on in Galveston, which is, you know, right next to Crystal Beach in Texas. So you've got to do that kind of research too. It's not just numbers. What brings the people there and what's going to bring more people there? What's going to shift that supply demand curve?
Totally, totally agree with that. And I think that it's, I mean, even if you're doing metro markets, like we haven't talked about metro markets much here, but there are places like Nashville where there is a lot of bachelorette party travel and things like that. It's still just, I know I talked a lot of crap about Nashville. I'm sorry to you Nashvillians. But it's just finding that sweet spot. Are you able to find, you know, a little bit cheaper property than some of the other ones, maybe because it's a little more beat up and you can find that opportunity to clean it up and get it where it needs to be. Right. So I think there's opportunity in any and every market in the country if you are the person that has that competitive edge of the knowledge of the market. Then you're somebody who can use all these other tools to be successful.
Right. And Nashville is another great example about knowing what's going on in the city. You know, that you might be able to find a place, you know, a little bit further away from Broadway. But if, you know, you've been watching the news and there's, you know, financial news, there's something about a new entertainment complex going up, you know, that you're going to end up being close to.
Oh, yeah, you know, on that North Bank. I read about that.
Yeah. You know, if you're doing the homework on that and the person selling a property hasn't factored that in, you could do very well just on appreciation.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's about all I have to say on these lists. That I just want to make sure that as you guys are reading them, they're all coming out this year, that you're looking a little bit deeper, not just taking these numbers and these recommendations at face value, but doing your own research into regulations, into purchase prices, into actual income numbers and market knowledge. And Chuck, do you have any parting words for us?
Yeah, actually about these lists, let's keep in mind that, you know, places like Bloomberg, Forbes and all that do these lists as well. But often their articles are based on the same information. So it's not new information. They're, in many cases, they're rehashing it or putting it together. Don't get swayed by that. You got to do your homework. It doesn't mean these aren't good starting points, but that's all they should be for you is a starting point.
Starting points. And we appreciate all of the companies who put these things out. And I'm a regular user of just about everything that we went through, all the companies list that we went through. So, yeah, I think that's all I got for today. Guys, if you have any questions on best places to invest, we have a weekly call every Wednesday at noon Central. You can sign up for at stsconsultation.com, where you can ask us any questions that you have that have anything to do with short-term rentals. So if you're listening to this and you're like, well, now this is about as clear as mud, hop on, ask us questions. We're happy to help. With that being said, Chuck, do you have any, would you like to tell your adoring fans farewell?
Well, farewell, but you can visit me on STS Plus too.
Oh yeah. So. Chuck is a coach. I totally need to plug that. Sorry. Short-Term Shop Plus is our new offering mentorship program. Chuck is a coach on there. So you have access not only to Luke and myself, got a few other coaches, but if you're a spreadsheet person and a data person, Chuck is your guy. So I need to probably move that to the beginning of the episode, but
it's okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on, Chuck. And we'll catch you next time. Guys, if you want more of Chuck, sign up for STS Plus.
Yep. And see you online.
See y'all.